Last time we were together, we saw the conversion of the Apostle Paul. And the question that arises, what happens after conversion? What's next? And we're going to look and see in the life of the Apostle Paul what followed his conversion. And I think it's a good pattern for us to think about. What happens after conversion? Do we just accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and have a place reserved for us in heaven and then just carry on the same way we were before? Or does conversion bring change? Surely it must bring change, because the Bible speaks about it being a brand new life, of being born again, having a new beginning. The Bible speaks about Christ coming in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so we can say, and as we look at the story of the Apostle Paul here, we're going to see that there was not only conversion, but there was transformation. There was real transformation in his life. In Acts chapter 9, verse 19, after, of course, this wonderful story of Saul meeting the Lord on the road to Damascus and eventually getting to the house of Ananias and being baptized and being filled with the Holy Spirit, it says in Acts 9:19, so when he had received food, he was strengthened, and Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" They were amazed. And no wonder, because there was a great transformation that happened in the life of the Apostle Paul. Now, of course, if a person is converted at 6 or 7 or 8 years old, you're not going to see an outwardly fantastic transformation as it was in the life of the Apostle Paul. But the Bible does teach us very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation." So we understand that the Word of God tells us that we become new. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It is graphically portrayed here in the life of Paul or Saul, as we see how he was going about arresting Christians, and now suddenly he is one himself. But he has not just become a Christian. There has not just been a transformation, but he has began to declare the gospel. Because what comes with this glorious gospel is also declaration or proclamation. We must proclaim this good news to others. And that's exactly what happens in the life of the Apostle Paul. And friends, God's called us to a transformed life, but he's also called us to declare this good news, to declare this gospel. Well, if you're truly converted, and if you've met the living God, and if you've had this incredible love relationship with Him, and if your sins have been forgiven, and you know they're forgiven, oh, it's not difficult to proclaim Christ. All we want to do is to proclaim Him. I tell you, when the Spirit of God takes over our experience, and when we know Him as our Lord and our Savior, we can't help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We just can't help it. That's exactly what takes place. And this was what took place in the life of the Apostle Paul. Yes, he experienced transformation, and he began to live with proclamation, that is, to share the gospel. And of course, we know that he shared the gospel throughout the entire Roman Empire. Now, you may not go out to the whole Roman Empire, but God calls you to proclaim the truth of the gospel. Pretty hard to do that before you're converted, but once you are, it ought to be the desire of our heart. Now, that proclamation may show itself in different ways. Yes, it ought to show it by the transformed life, so that people would look at you and wonder why you have such hope, and ask the reason for that hope within you, and for you to answer with reverence and respect. But God not only wants us to live the life, but He also wants us to give the glory to the Lord. Otherwise, people will say, oh, you're a very nice person, or very kind, or very gentle, and very something else. But they will give you the glory, and they will give you the credit. But what we want to do is to say, it is because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. When I was first converted, not that long afterwards, my life was completely transformed from being a constant drunk and drug addict to being in my right mind. And I remember a gentleman coming up to me and congratulating me and telling me how wonderful it was that I had changed my life. And I said to him, no, I said, I didn't change my life. I couldn't. I said, it was the power of God. I said, the Lord Jesus changed my life. He got very upset with me. He said, no, it wasn't Jesus. It was you. You did it yourself. And you should take the credit for it. And I said, I could never do that. Because if I was left to my own devices, I would still be in the same mess that I was. But Jesus changed my life. Oh, friends, it's wonderful to proclaim Jesus. Now, a person might feel, well, I don't know a lot. What would I have to say to anybody? But listen, if you have been converted, then you do know that your sins are forgiven. You do know that you have a home in heaven. You do know that you have the peace of God concerning these matters. You know that you have a love relationship with God. And I can tell you that's an awful lot more than someone who has not been converted has. And you can share your story. You can share what has happened to you. And we'll find as we go through the life of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts that he did just that. He shared his story. And at some point as we go through this, we're going to see how it is that Paul shared his story, and we can learn from that as well. But you know, not only did the Apostle Paul experience this transformation, and not only was he a man who was proclaiming the gospel, and so the result of transformation was proclamation or declaration, but also we find the Apostle Paul didn't stay in Damascus. And in the book of Acts, we don't quite get that timeline, but the Bible tells us that he left Damascus and went to Arabia. And as he went to Arabia, then he returned to Damascus and eventually went down to Jerusalem. And it was for the space of about 3 years he was gone. And what was he doing for 3 years in the Arabian desert? He was experiencing preparation. So, what is this preparation that the Apostle Paul, well, I'm sure he had to rethink everything. He had to go back over the Old Testament and all the scriptures that he knew, having been brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the Pharisees and one of the great teachers of that day. And now he was faced with, what do I do? And so we can find that Paul took the time to prepare. He went away. He went into some more secluded place and spent time learning the truths of the scriptures in relationship to Jesus Christ. We need time with God. You need time with God. Now, you may not be able to go out in the desert for 3 years, but I can assure you that you need to daily come into the presence of God. There is a sense where the preparation of our lives to live this life for Jesus Christ is found in the quiet place with God. It's found as we take the Word of God and open it and read it and pray over it and ask God to speak to us. Are you doing these things? Oh, there's no place for just shallow Christianity with very shallow ideas and no hunger and desire to go deeper and to know God in a more intimate way. He's calling you. He calls all of us to transformation. He calls all of us to proclamation. And he calls all of us to preparation. The way that preparing may be different for every person, but God wants us to be prepared. That's why the scripture says in 1 Peter, I believe it's 2:15, be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have within you. Be prepared. Be prepared. And there's no better way to be prepared but to get in the Word of God and in prayer and to be sure that you spend that time with God. Look at the life of Jesus. With all of who he was, being the Son of God, he still took seasons of time to be alone with the Father in prayer. So if he needed it, you certainly do. And so we see here the Apostle Paul doing these things. And I think they are good examples for us to follow in general terms, that we need to understand that an encounter with Jesus Christ brings that transformation, and that we are called to proclaim the gospel. We are called to proclaim the good news of what the Lord has done for us, and we are called to be a prepared people. So, where's your focus, friends? Are you prepared? Are you proclaiming? Have you been transformed? Maybe you have none of these because you have not yet been converted. And I want you to know that all of the things that God calls us to do, He gives the grace to do it. It is His power working in us mightily, as the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1. So, do you need to be converted? Do you need transformation? Come to Jesus. Respond to Him as He calls out to you. As He seeks you, why not seek Him? Because a seeking sinner will always meet a seeking Savior. And in that encounter, allow Him to transform your life and to give you the grace and the strength to proclaim the truth of the gospel and to spend that quality time in the presence of God, that we might be a prepared people to serve Him, prepared to honor Him, prepared to proclaim the truth in love, and to encourage others in the gospel of the kingdom. All of these weighty things the Apostle Paul experienced in his life by the power of God. And as afterwards, as Paul was there in Galatia, in Damascus, we find that the Apostle Paul, either upon his return or previous to Damascus, or while in Damascus for the first time, he was there twice. In Acts 9:22, it says, Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. They could not out-argue him or disprove what Paul was saying. As a matter of fact, it left them in confusion because he was proving that Jesus was the Christ. And in Acts 9:23, and after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down through the wall in a large basket. And so we find that he escaped from this persecution, and he went to Jerusalem from there. So what else do we find? We find that there will be a level of persecution that will come. As we live, as we experience transformation, as we begin to walk in proclamation of the gospel, and as we find ourselves in preparation, we will find that there will also be persecution. The Bible says that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus promised that we would receive persecutions, and Paul wrote about it as well in Romans chapter 8, that we would be joint heirs, but we would also be heirs of His suffering. So friends, when we walk with God, these are the experiences that happen. If you have no interest in any of these things, then you have no interest in the gospel, because they come with it. It's part and parcel of this walk. Now, of course, we know the Apostle Paul probably received as much or more persecution than anyone ever did as he went about preaching the gospel. But praise the Lord, he counted it worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. And it's interesting to note that he was once the persecutor, and now he was the persecuted one. And so God had timing for him as well. He didn't stay in Damascus. He didn't go out and allow him just say, okay, well, come and get me and stone me. He knew that the Lord had plans for him. And so he took the available means that were in front of him to leave Damascus at that time when the going got too hot. And he goes to Jerusalem. And when he gets there, he goes to see the apostles. But they aren't so sure of this guy. They remember very well as he stood and held the coats as Stephen was martyred, as he was being stoned to death, and Saul was consenting to his death. And so when Saul had come to Jerusalem, Acts 9:26, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and how he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists. But they still, it says, they attempted to kill him. So when we look at this conversion, we have lessons to learn. And we find the Apostle Paul going about the Master's business. Oh, may God encourage our own souls to be faithful to him, to go about his business. Because when you trust Christ as your Savior, he is now the one that's in control of your life and experience. So as he looked like the Hellenists were going to try and kill him in Jerusalem, it says when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. And Tarsus was actually Paul's hometown. And so he actually went there for a period of time. Perhaps he went there to share the gospel with his family. Some of these areas we don't know. Remember, periods of time go by as we're going through this book, the book of Acts. We conclude our message this evening with this text in Acts 9:31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. We know that there was a great persecution that they had been experiencing, and it looks like the primary persecutor, the very wheels that caused the persecution to go forward, was the zeal of the Apostle Paul. And now that he had been converted, which must have took the wind right out of the sails of those persecutors, because he was now their ally, and now he was on the opposite side of the fence, and there was no one like him to take up the persecuting. And so we discovered that there was peace amongst the churches, and not only did they experience peace, but they were edified. They grew up in the Lord. They were built up in their faith. They walked in the fear of the Lord, that is, in the awesome respect of God, but not just the fear of the Lord, but the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. Some people may think the fear of the Lord is a bad thing, that we should never fear God. Of course we should hold him in awe and reverence. This is the creator of the universe. We ought to think twice before we are tempted to move towards sin, because we are the eyes of the creator are upon us. There is a real sense of fear of the Lord that is a good fear. And I can tell you it is good, because not only did we experiencing that fear of the Lord, that reverence and respect for him, but it says they were comforted by the Holy Spirit. Yes, friends, there's a comfort that comes from God that there is no substitute for. And I can tell you that even in the midst of my trial and the loss of my own wife, I can say that the comfort of the Holy Spirit is a deep comfort indeed. And it says the result of this, they were multiplied. I like that word, multiplied. It's better than addition. It's faster than addition. It adds up more. And yes, God was a God of much more. And he was blessing, and he was working in that time and in those circumstances as Paul became a Christian and began to live this transformed life, proclaiming the gospel, spending quality time with his Maker and in the Word of God, and experiencing persecution as the result of his living for Christ. What a glorious time it was. But I pray for each one of us that we might be on this journey, that we might be a people who know salvation, who are willing to have that proclamation and who are hungry for preparation and ready to accept persecution. Praise God. Praise you, Heavenly Father, for the Word of God and for the truth that is in it, that we might walk in the Spirit, that we might serve you wholeheartedly, and we might, Lord, be willing to suffer for your name's sake. So take us, Lord, even tonight, today, and cause us, Lord, to be servants of the Most High God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.